The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Onika McClellan sought affirmation through romantic relationships and worldly status until God transformed her heart and gave her a mission.
I'm hoping that we all continue, because it's a lifelong journey, to understand our value and worth. And I think sometimes women discount themselves and forget, because you get so busy with life, you get so busy raising kids, you get so busy in your job that you forget in the midst of that, that God has something on the inside of you that He wants to bring to life.
Robinson, Betty, and I welcome you to life today. And I got an unusual name here. It's not like one you hear all the time. It's Onika.
Yes.
Yes, you got it. I got it. Amen. McClellan, but it's Onika. I said it right?
That's right. Exactly.
You had a beautiful smile.
Thank you.
Now, would you have been smiling if I had said it wrong?
I still would smile. Yes. When I was in college, my husband nicknamed me Big O. So if you forget Onika, you can just call me Big O.
Where did he get that?
I don't know. Ask him. I have no idea.
I'm surprised you didn't punch him out. Man, I mean, I'm going to have a little counseling session with him sitting out here as a pastor. I don't know about that. But let me tell you, you're beautiful, Onika, through and through. And you're radiant, your husband, too. You got a church over in Dallas. I haven't figured this out yet. You got some camps. It's called Shoreline.
Yes.
Now, listen to me, folks. It's called Shoreline. Shoreline City Church.
Yes.
Okay, so I can assume it's in a city, the whole Dallas metroplex,
and
right?
In Antigua.
And Antigua. Okay, and then you got one in Guatemala, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
That's
what.
Okay.
Yes.
And there's no shore. There's no lake. But it's Shoreline. Okay, so it came with the name of the church that really your husband was an associate pastor in. Then God showed him he wanted to be pastor.
That's right.
And so they let you bring their name.
That's
and
right.
They give you a little support. Now, they didn't pay to bring your name, did they?
No, not at all, But it helped us get our, kind of our sea legs, mm-hmm. and then...
Well, sea legs? You don't have to have sea legs.
Yes, and then after the first year, and then now we've been on our own ever since then, and it's been a miracle. Every Sunday, I cry as I look out into the faces of the people and think, wow, who would have thought?
Yeah. Now, you've got the campuses. Are you like, is your husband, is he preaching like we do where it's up here on the screen and it goes to the campuses and they listen to him?
It depends.
Or do they have their own preacher over there? And you better check up on them. You got to be sure they're in line.
Both and. It depends on the location and the leader at each location. So some video and then some live.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
But God's really blessed. It's growing, right?
It's been miraculous.
Six-year-old church?
7 years.
Seven years. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about this born
okay.
of woman. What do you mean, born of woman? I mean, isn't everybody born of a woman?
Exactly.
I know today we're discussing it.
Right. I was reading Galatians 4:4, and it says Jesus was born of a woman. And when I read that, literally the scripture illuminated to me. And I thought, what else can be born of a woman? If Jesus was born of a woman, what's placed on the inside of other women that God has something that He wants them to give birth to? And so that's how the whole journey began.
So that's what the book's about.
Right. That's exactly right.
Tell us some of the components that you want people to hear, because you didn't have what you'd call just the best childhood.
Right.
It's kind of challenged like a lot of people
exactly.
have, right? Single mom?
Exactly.
Tough situations?
Yes.
Was she not always doing everything right?
She was amazing, actually.
Oh, was
Worked
she?
Worked really hard, very professional, very polished, put me through private school.
Wow.
And always wanted to make sure I had the best.
That's great.
And so I had a really great example of a hardworking mom, but I didn't have a dad that was present, cheering me on, saying, know your value, know your worth. So as a young girl, I made a lot of poor choices because I didn't know who I was in Christ. And I was always looking for affirmation from men. And so it wasn't until actually I went to college that I met someone at a clothing store who befriended me. Her name was Jory. And she was this cute little blonde cheerleader.
Was she working where you worked or she just shopping there?
She worked with me.
Okay.
And so one night we were cleaning the store, like straightening the store, putting all the clothes away because I love shopping and fashion. So I thought, well, that's the perfect mix. I'll get a job at a clothing store then I can get a discount. And so we were cleaning up the store one night and I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 21. I said, 21? I said, that means you can go to bars and you don't get clubbed, or I mean, you don't get carded and you don't have to use a fake ID. And she said, that's not my scene. She said, I'm actually a Christian. And when she said that, something jumped out at me and I thought, I want what she has. Mm. She was so full of life, so vibrant, so passionate, and so fresh. And I thought, there's something she has that I don't have. And so that began the journey. And through friendship, she actually led me to the Lord. She kept inviting me to church, kept taking me to coffee, lunch, dinner, never judged me, never spoke down to me.
You said she was 21. How old were you?
I was 18, 19.
18, 19, okay.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that great? So you saw something in her. You might want to imply she's getting it at the bar, but she made it clear she's not getting it at the bar.
That's exactly
but you
right.
figure somebody's this high and happy must be high on something.
Exactly.
But it
exactly.
wasn't what you thought.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so she, something that was so beautiful, she just loved me for me, and she saw me, and she didn't feel the need to kind of beat me up over the, with the Bible and quote scripture at me and talk down to me. She actually just loved me. And it was through that love that then built something in me that said, I'm going to come to her church. And so I finally said yes. She probably asked me to church for almost a year.
Wow.
And so I want to encourage anyone, because sometimes you think I'm going to stop inviting because they're not coming. Mm-hmm. But she didn't give up on me, and I'm so thankful that she didn't give up on me.
Okay, when you got to church, what difference does that make? You've already seen something in her that got your attention.
Right.
So you hadn't pushed her off. She's impressed you.
Mm-hmm,
okay, so now you went to church.
Right.
Okay, why was that important?
So I walked in the doors, and I saw so many young people that looked just like me that loved Jesus. So now it wasn't just her. I saw a sea of young
church,
people. It was in California, Southern California.
Christians in California?
Exactly. Who would have thought? And I looked around the room and I saw other people that looked like her and looked like me that were worshiping God, that were so engaging. There were older people there that everyone seemed so happy to see me, as if they would been, had been waiting for me. And so literally right when it was time for the altar call, the pastor said, if you want to make that decision today, and literally my arm just shot up. And there's been no looking back since then.
So when you got in the church, you felt affirmed that this girl cared about you. She's telling you there's a reason, something inside of me, and you were seeing it. So when you got to church and you saw what looked like a family of people that loved, did you somehow in church see this father that was going to actually love and affirm you?
Did you sense that? I did. She actually invited me. A couple things, two things that happened. One is she introduced me to her older sister, who taught me how to read my Bible, taught me what it meant to be a woman of God. And they actually said, I was in a relationship at the time that was very unhealthy. And they said, you know what, we just want to encourage you. We don't want to control your life. You can do whatever you want to do. But we just want to encourage you to be single and to learn who you are in Christ and to trust Him with who He has for your future. And then I went to this little seminar on dating. So that pulled me in that it was on dating, but then come to find out it was on the Christian perspective on dating and marriage and what that could look like. And so I saw healthy couples, healthy husband and wives talking about dating the right way. And so it painted a new picture of what relationships could look like.
You begin to get a foundation.
That's exactly right. And so it made me decide I don't want to settle anymore, because so many times women settle because they feel insecure and they don't think they're worth but the person that's paying them any attention. And so it was at that point, it was those layers that helped me understand who I am in Christ. I don't have to date around. God did have someone amazing for me, and I'm so glad I stopped settling.
In California?
No, actually in Oklahoma. I met my husband in college.
That's closer to the promised land.
Exactly.
That's on the border of the promised land.
That's right. That's right. That's
so
right.
So did you meet this guy that's sitting out here that you're married to that's pastor?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I met him in college. So I had stopped. By the time I met him, I hadn't dated for 3 years and just still on fire for God, knew who I was.
You were on fire for God. You were serious about it.
Very much so. Very much so. So
okay,
we were introduced.
ORU?
Mm-hmm. We met at ORU.
And there's some other Christians there, right?
Just a few. Just a few.
My son went there and he met his wife there.
Wow.
Okay. Now.
Tell me.
You met there.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting out here looking at us right now. Yeah, he's watching. Now, was he serious about Jesus at ORU?
Very much so. Very much so. He was just the same way that he is today. So down to earth, so humble, so much favor, so passionate, into basketball, loves Jesus, and just knows no stranger.
Did he know he was going to be a preacher?
He did. When we started dating, he said, just so you know, at the time he thought he was going to be an evangelist. And so he said, I'm going to be traveling and preaching, and I just want to make sure that you're okay with that. So very early in our dating relationship.
But he's still an evangelist. He's announcing good news.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, she's good news, right? Okay, here's what I want you to help everybody know that you go to a lot of trouble to write this book.
Sure.
And to pour your heart into it. And I'm going to flip over here. I'm going to glance and see if any of the chapter titles get my curiosity.
Okay.
But what did you want to happen when you wrote the book? You know, when you're saying, okay, there's 22 chapters. I mean, and they're not so long that they're going to wear you out. This is good stuff. You have the, like, chapter 2, Born of a Woman. I want you to expand on that because it's the title of the book. What do you want all the women to get? Because right. I really think you're focusing on women. Am I right
mm-hmm.
about
That's
that?
That's correct. That's
okay.
correct.
Okay, what do you really want them to get out of that?
I'm hoping that we all continue, because it's a lifelong journey, to understand our value and worth, and to know that Jesus has a plan and purpose for our life, and that all of heaven is cheering us on to be all that God's called us to be. And I think sometimes women discount themselves and forget, because you get so busy with life, you get so busy raising kids, you get so busy in your job that you forget in the midst of that, that God has something on the inside of you that he wants to bring to life. And so my prayer is that as women read this book, that they will awaken to their purpose and the plan that God has for their life, no matter the season
they're in. And it's a matter of God's perfect timing
exactly.
for the different seasons he
yes,
takes us through. Because
that's
there's nothing
right.
more important than being a wife, a mother, a homemaker. But then that's not where it stops.
Right,
I mean,
right,
even
right.
in that moment, in that time, you can be all that God purposed
exactly.
you to be.
Exactly.
And have some value and know that value that
that's
it comes
exactly
from the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Because I think sometimes, because some women get the chance to stay at home, which mm-hmm. is such a gift.
Yes.
And then some women work full time. But I think the key is understanding that he sees you and sees your kids no matter the season of life that you find yourself in. And does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think women sometimes too, they, like you said, they get so busy.
Exactly.
So their life is so full with their families and,
yep.
and they love their families. But sometimes they can feel forgotten.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so my prayer is that we would all wake up to the plan that he has for our life. And if you're at the playground, he wants to use you at the playground,
Absolutely.
Loving on another mom mm-hmm. and start a
That's
play
right.
group with her or a Bible mm-hmm. study.
You're
if
right.
you're in the boardroom, he wants you to mm-hmm. set an example by being on time, being sharp, having some of the best ideas, and inventing all that he's called you to do. And so
sure.
I feel like from the playground to the boardroom to a college campus, mm-hmm. that there's something on the inside of us that God wants to give birth to.
See, I'm praying in my heart right now, and
yes.
God listens to me. You know, you don't have to hear me. We talk, man, the Father talk. And I'm just saying, Lord, I want you to take this beautiful, beautiful, vivacious, powerful, loving exuberance that I see right now in this beautiful woman that you're in such beauty, and I want it just to spread. I want it just to go through all the women,
wow.
and I know that's what you want right here. Now, would you have ever believed, Betty, that God would take you from the home and put you here on television in front of the whole world every day, Monday through Friday? Did you think that?
Not at all. I didn't know. You know, I was one of those girls, very young, growing up, felt very insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
I felt lost in the crowd. I felt like if I just be quiet and not make any noise and everything, be good enough that I'll be okay,
mm-hmm.
you know. But God already had plans for me that
That's
I didn't
right.
even know. Had he told me at that time, I'd probably passed out or something, you know, fainting. But his timing's so perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we're on a journey.
That's
we learn
right.
and grow every day,
mm-hmm.
hopefully.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about. It's about the journey and
yep.
all the things he puts out before us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we kind of stray a little bit, but if we allow him, he'll pull us back
that's
into
right.
line, get us right back on the right path. So.
I remember Betty saying many times, she said, I'd tell God, that's what, God, I really want to love you, you know, with all my heart. If I really do, you probably make me, I'll end up over in Africa on the mission field. And so here we are over on Africa on the mission field. I told God,
right.
I ended up on the mission field. Last place in the world, you
That's
thought.
That's right.
You.
Thank God must have
We went all over America on the mission field, winning people to Christ. And then we ended up for more than 20 years on all the mission mm-hmm. fields of the third world countries. And it was like our son-in-law, Terry, he would send us to every war. Wherever there's a massive civil war, wherever the Soviet Union is collapsing, wherever there's a big battle going on over in Romania, and whatever it is, you were there when the Berlin Wall's torn down. They just sent us like right into the middle of hell. What a wonderful journey. But see, what we meant it. Listen, we meant it. We just want God to have his way
That's
in our
right.
lives.
That's
and
exactly
he's
right.
having. And that is why you wrote this book.
That's exactly
you want
right.
If women get the book and they get to reading the book, what do you hope when you talk to God about the women that read this book? What are you praying? God, let this happen. If you could just put it down in a few paragraphs or sentences.
That's right. I'm praying that He would wake us up. As we were driving here to be a part of today, I just saw all these rocks. And to me, it represented people that feel dead in the situation that they're in. And I'm praying that as they read these words, that these words would become just an army of just angels that are fighting for them, warring for them, waking up what's on the inside of them. Because I feel like so many people feel dead in their season, dead in the situation that they're facing. And I'm just praying that the Spirit of God would take those words and that those words would breathe life on every single heart, and that it would start something so beautiful, because then it would impact not only them, but then their kids, then their husband, then their places of work and their communities and so on and so forth.
You know, we have so many great women who minister here. Christine Kane.
Yes,
she preached on our Awaken Now conference. My gosh, it was our 50th anniversary. Mm. She preached the greatest message on witnessing I've ever heard in my life, period. I mean, I'm telling you, the absolute greatest. And it's Jack Graham said, you know, I know we're not supposed to say this as a Baptist, but said Christine Kane's the greatest preacher I think I've ever heard. He said, don't tell anybody I said that.
She's amazing.
But the point is, she's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Her message there, you can get it. You go on, you can get it from us in our library.
Right.
But it's phenomenal. But then we have Sheila Walsh. And
yes.
I mean, what a tremendous power. And then Lisa Bevere comes.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
She says women need to be like a lioness.
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, I want to give you my read. Look at women. I just live with the most unbelievable person. Now, here's what I believe. I see it in you, sitting women all over the place. Mm. Here's what I believe. Outside the Holy Spirit, now listen to what I'm saying. Outside the Holy Spirit, the greatest force and power, influence and inspiration on the planet are women.
Wow.
Now, that does not mean that the enemy can't twist something and make them very dangerous, deceptive, seductive. Okay, we understand that. And men have a tendency to be very weak in areas where women can be very, very seductive and distracting and not a wholesome way. But within women is not only this born of a woman potential, but out of women comes so much. And I really believe this. You know, when I deal with leaders a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my strongest advice to the president is, you know, listen to Melania Moore. Watch her. Watch her. Watch how calm and collected and cool she is. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we would all do a little bit of that? So the point is that I believe women have within them the ability to give birth to one of the greatest movements perhaps the world will ever see. And that would be a move of the love of God that no one can express more effectively than a woman and a mother. Father, I pray that. And I pray that you will use this book, Lord, that you will use Onika and her husband to really bless people in this Shoreline City Church and all that they do. And we just thank you for them. Would you say thanks to God for the way He's using Onika? Shoreline Church, City Church in Dallas. You know, Onika, one of the things that really has blessed us, and this is the neat thing, and I want to say this, I know couples help us in what we do, but the majority of checks, I'm going to guess that 80 to 85% of the checks that come to Life Outreach are signed by women.
Wow.
Filled out by women. That doesn't mean that the woman is saying, we're doing this, honey. No, it's pretty much couples. Sometimes men will tell me later, well, my wife had the burden before I did. But women care. And I want to thank you for your sensitivity. We are drilling water wells right now. And boy, you know, when you talk about a mother wanting her children not to die, not to be sick, mothers hear that. Here's what I want to ask you to do right now. I want all of you who are watching to just say, God, how can I be the miracle someone's praying for? Can I be the answer to someone's prayer? All right, now listen to me. You can be the miracle that keeps a child alive. You can be a miracle that gives families a future with health by simply giving them clean water. We're talking about giving thousands of people, ultimately millions, clean water by giving them a well in their community, their village, their area. And we're asking you to help us drill another 200 wells right now. Toward, you know, we've been drilling 400 a year. That's our goal. We want to see that happen. We start with 200, then we come back to complete the 200 later in the year, the other 200. But I'm asking you right now, please, you listen and you watch, because you're going to see the need that love meets miraculously through you. And then you ask God, what do you want me to do to be a miracle in that person's life and that family? And you let him lead you. Watch closely.
Recorded history tells us one of the critical factors in determining where people decided to settle was access to water. That criteria is still used today. Unfortunately, for hundreds of thousands of people around the globe, this decision can have deadly consequences. Each day, as Antoinette returns to a small stream to collect water, it serves as a reminder of the deaths of her grandchildren. She told our team that one grandchild died at a clinic where she had taken him, and by the time she returned home, her other grandchild had died as well. The pain of losing her grandchildren once brought her thoughts of suicide, but somehow Antoinette is still able to hope for a better life. We can turn Antoinette's plea of if she can get clean water into when by drilling a well that provides her and her village the gift of life, fresh, clean drinking water.
Can you imagine trying to save a child or a grandchild's life and then go back to find out that you lost the one at home that had been drinking contaminated water? I'm holding clean water right here. And the words on this beautiful cup that we've given people, through every season, He is faithful. How does God express His faithfulness? Through our faithfulness to Him and our love. It's love that never fails. Do you know what the answer for that situation is that she was talking about? It's clean water. Jesus said, if you'll give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. You see, there's a phone number there on the screen. It's prayer line. Do you know that even now, while we're talking about saving lives, 80 to 85% of all calls that come in, if there were 1,000 calls that come on that line, 800, 850 of them would be, please pray for me, broken heart. That's what it's there for. But in this moment, I'm asking you to make it an answer to prayer line. Oh, people are going to keep calling because they need prayer, because we want to pray for them. We love them. We care. So we share their burdens, and we try to help them see their load lightened by God. But if you would right now make this an answer to prayer line, make it a lifeline, and say, I'm not only going to give a cup of water in Jesus' name, we're going to help provide a well of water for that entire community. Did you know that a gift of $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life? Where can you put $48 to have more impact? $4,800, and we've given an entire community, entire village, water for the rest of their life. That's amazing, isn't it? If you can give a water well, please do. Many people tell us it's the greatest joy of the entire year for them. For some, they say it's a real effort, James, but it's a joyful effort. There are some who can even give more than a well, and we have those who'll do it. Thank God for that. Aren't you grateful? Answer to prayer. Whatever you can do, do it. You may say, James, I can't give the 48, but I can give 1,200 and pray three join me. Do it. Pray they join you. But you start the process. 2,400, pray one more joins you. We got another well. $48, 10 people water the rest of their life. Could you do that? Would you right now make the gift God puts on your heart? Please do it. The number there, just call it or go online, take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're mailing in, but make the check to Life. Thank you so much for doing it. You're becoming the miracle someone's heart longs for. You're becoming the answer to prayer. You're going on the answer to prayer line. You become the answer. Please do it right now. Go get that card and act now as God directs. Thank you.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, diseased-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life provides a way for parents to save the lives of their children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish the first 200 water wells of the year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you the Praying Grace 55-Day Devotional. This new devotional will help you renew your mind to the realities of God's grace and help you pray powerful grace-based prayers for each day. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Praying Grace Tumbler. This reusable 16-ounce container is constructed with insulated stainless steel, perfect for hot or cold beverages. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the beautiful new commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, I've got a joy in my heart, Betty. I just feel like answer to prayer calls are coming, not just prayer calls. And boy, we treasure the opportunity to pray with you, so don't ever think that that doesn't mean a lot to us and to our staff, our prayer partners. But boy, it's going to be neat today to see answer to prayer calls. If you'd like to have Born of a Woman, you can get it online. Will you help us give water? We'll send it to you to say thanks. Anika has put her heart, God's heart, into the book. And you can tell she's just got glory and grace all over her. Would you just say thanks to the Lord and thanks to Anika for being a blessing to us? Thank you. Yeah, you got the glory of God over you. Thank all of you for watching. How about telling your friends to watch Life Today and share life every day with someone? Kids Life.
You know, have you needed God to show up within a specific time frame? And He just doesn't.
Spend Wednesdays in the Word tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.